What is going on, everyone? We have a lot to talk about post week three. We're going over the latest news and headlines. We have a 2 minute and 4 minute drill coming up for you. And we also have a special guest all here on Tuck and Run. There you go. Like that.
Oh, I was thinking, like, we're not doing the words. No, like, you know what? That'll save us if we ever get sued. We're going to do the karaoke version.
In case you guys didn't know what song that is.
Yeah, I want to know.
We're not going to take it. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It is your host, as always, the one and only Sam OG. To my right, my partner in crime, my ride and die, my everything, the tenacious D. Tuck.
Guten Tag.
And to my left, the artist formerly known as Jay Saborn.
I want to be your everything.
You are. You're in my heart. But we have a special guest here today.
Hey, this music isn't for you, Jay.
In fact, he's related to one of our own pundit here, Jay Saborn. We have
Dale.
Matt.
I'm a hero.
Dale. Two of my three favorite Saborns are at the table.
Matt Saborn, he is the younger brother of Jay Saborn.
Yep.
And he's also in the military. And as you may probably guessed, because a lot of people have been talking about, asking me rather, we are going to cover what has been going on
in the NFL.
later on in the segment. But before we do that, Matt, hi, welcome.
Hi, everybody. I'm a hero.
Goddamn patriot.
I'm a patriot.
Welcome to the Tuck and Run production podcast, football, all that good stuff.
Glad to be here.
This is excellence.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself, say a few things, favorite team?
No, I would not like
What's
to
your favorite
that.
Color?
I like green.
Do you like pina coladas?
Of course, everyone does. It's delicious.
About walking in the rain?
Actually, I don't like pina coladas, but they have coconut. I hate coconut.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the latest news and headlines. Starting off with some injuries, key injuries here that happened this past week. We got Tavon Austin, the wide receiver from the Los Angeles Rams. He sustained a concussion against the 49ers and is currently going through protocol. Right now, moving on, we have Jay Ajayi. Jay Ajayi left the game early on in the first quarter with the left arm or wrist injury. I don't know. Any updates on that one? It's either or, right? Moving on.
He's fine. Jay Ajayi.
He's going to make it.
Should be on my fantasy team, Sam.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
wanted to text you. I'm really stroking my beard on that proposal you gave me.
Let's talk about that right now on air, because I offered Craig Derek Carr.
No one knows who Craig is.
Okay, I offered the host of the Flagrant Fans, the show that used to be the number two podcast on Tucker Punch.
Yeah, why doesn't that run anymore? I haven't heard any episodes.
You know, we can go down all these rabbit holes.
I want to go down it because
Kyle.
You're not gonna like what comes up.
I think Kyle ended his friendship with Jay by not going to the baby shower, and then they talked, and then they brought it up in the group text, and Kyle just sent the internet website of Giphy instead of actually a GIF.
that was actually Craig that did that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
No, one of them sent the...
Is there real beef? Is there real beef going on?
Don't ask me. Look at your brother.
Is there real beef?
All right, we're moving on.
Jeremy Maclin.
Jay, he's out with a left arm or wrist injury. Jeremy Maclin, he's out with a concussion. Well, he's going under concussion protocol. So is Sammy Watkins. And we also have Olivier Vernon, of the defensive end of the New York Giants. He went down with an ankle injury in the fourth quarter and did not return to the game. Matt Forte, running back of the Jets, left the game in the second half and was designated as questionable to return. However, he didn't return and will undergo an x-ray on his toe. Your boy, Dale, Anthony Zettel, defensive tackle of the Lions, injured his right knee in the third quarter.
This is news to me. This is hopefully it works out well.
But he did return. he did return with a wrath name, so I think he's going day to day as of now. Moving on from there, we have Melvin Gordon. He injured his knee during this past Sunday's game against the Chiefs. Right, they played the Chiefs.
Who's their backup?
Yeah, Chargers Chiefs this week.
Olivia.
Brandon Oliver.
All right, what's his injury? I gotta ask.
Oh, don't get that phone.
That's questionable. And But he did have a good game. 78 yards, 15 carries, 11-yard touchdown. Not bad for a guy who injured his knee. Moving on from there, Gerald McCoy, the defensive tackle of the Bucks, aggravated his ankle and is dealing with it since last week, however. But he was spotted in a walking boot after the game.
Did you just notice about Gerald McCoy? He was like, because all the Twitter trolls who have something to say to me, like, this, I'm at one Buck place, come see me. And then the team had to release another tweet that's like, please don't come see Gerald McCoy in the parking lot.
And Calvin Benjamin, the wide receiver out of Carolina, left the game during the first quarter after his leg went back awkwardly.
Gross.
Hopefully,
he was ruled out for the rest of the game. He's going
questionable. Last night, because he's on my fantasy team, he's questionable.
Yeah, he shouldn't play.
No structural damage, however.
No, I benched him, so it's, as far as I'm concerned, he's dead to me.
Devin Funchess, good pickup.
However, we'll see where he is day to day. And finally, we have Darren Sproles. Jeez, talk about the worst luck you could possibly have on the field. Darren Sproles went out the game after suffering both a torn ACL and a broken arm on the same.
Just think about the rehab, though. That sucks. Usually you're on crutches. He can't even be on crutches. He's got a broken arm.
Tell you what, he walked off the field, which was.
I'll tell you what, our boy Danny Asidu today playing soccer broke his kneecap and tore his ACL.
Oh my God.
In one play. So I thought of Darren Sproles.
That soccer is rough. It's a rough sport.
He needs to stop.
Danny Asidu.
He did what?
He dislocated his kneecap and tore his ACL.
He's doing important work. He should stop playing.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
Priorities.
Danny, you should listen to this. I don't think you know it exists, but we'll get this to you.
Priorities, Danny.
Best of luck to you, man. Moving on from there. And Darren Sproles, yes. Ravens coach.
John Harbaugh went on public
saying that no more London games for his team.
That's kind of a cop-out.
Getting a ass kicking by the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're gonna get into that later on.
I watched that game. That you go into London, they would have lost it if they played in Baltimore.
Are you saying that John Harbaugh is whining that the NFL is screwing his team?
Oh, that's a hard off there, right?
Okay. Patriots. Bill. Andrew Luck is set to practice next week. Hopefully, the team really needs him.
No, you know what I saw? That he's not going to come back till November.
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's
what
Four to six weeks.
Crazy. They should have put him on the PUP. Like, that's the stupidest thing they ever could have done to have him taking up a roster spot when he's clearly not going to play.
He'll play this season.
Yeah, in November.
Yeah.
But if you put him on the PUP, you know, he doesn't count for the roster for the first 6 weeks. So now they're carrying a quarterback who literally cannot play.
Yeah.
Also in the news, what else we got here?
Rex Burkhead is out, by the way, for all the Patriots fans. He will probably not play.
I like having Matt here. We have Patriots.
Has not been to practice.
Patriot and fantasy corner.
Rex Burkhead.
I remember that trade. I offered him Jordan Howard and Derek Carr. Everyone tell me if this is a bad trade. Jordan Howard, my first round pick, and Derek Carr, my starting quarterback, for C.J. Anderson and Amari Cooper. And he rejected it as soon as I sent
you it. You traded him a quarterback? You were going to trade
him
a quarterback?
Because I asked Stafford. Derek Carr and Jordan Howard, because Jordan Howard had a bad week too. And then he had 38 points. And he was like, that's the worst trade I've ever seen. And I'm like, I felt weird sending it to you. So that's
I'm rejecting it.
That's how I know Craig is not that. Well, it doesn't matter because I can force it through. But as the commissioner, I could make and break trades at will.
Quarterbacks aren't valuable in fantasy.
But anyways, enough fantasy. But what is your two trade? Let's hear about that real quick. We have time.
Let's talk about that. There's a lot of news I want to go over, but the main news is yet to come, and we're all going to talk about that. But first, I have to say something. I have to admit, it's been a very long time since I've done an off-the-field MVP of the week. A lot has happened in the NFL. I mean, a lot has happened outside the NFL, rather, between, you know, these crazy natural disasters and, of course, what our commander-in-chief said lately. We here at Tuck and Run should have kept our focus as far as the positives that has been going off on off the field, and we're going to continue that. So please apologize to you.
Someone's going to apologize.
Sorry. I'm so sorry, Sam.
I might apologize to you guys for not staying focused. I would love to continue my off the field MVP of the week. Now I have three that I wanted to pick that in the past three weeks. And, again, I'll run them down really quickly. First one goes to Chris Long, the Eagles defensive end. He will donate his first 6-game checks to a fund scholarship for the students in his hometown of Charlottesville, Virginia. This comes in response to all the racial tensions that's been happening there in the last month. Alejandro Villanueva is planning to donate all of his jersey proceeds to nonprofit military support groups after his standalone act this past Sunday, where he stood by himself. His jerseys have spiked up and been the number one selling jerseys in the NFL. And with that, while acknowledging that, he decided to not pocket the money, but give it to a good cause, something that he's proud about. And finally, the off-the-field MVP of the week goes to the entire NFL for taking a stand and, in response to Donald Trump's stupid remarks he made earlier last week. From everyone from the owners of the team, the players on the team, and even Commissioner Roger Goodell has come out, said what they had to say against Donald Trump, and all took a knee in an act of unity against the words of Donald Trump after he called these players sons of bitches, and
his words, not ours,
and essentially trying to threaten or take away their right to the First Amendment. So, gentlemen of the NFL, ladies and gentlemen of the NFL, all you fine gentlemen out there, my off-the-field MVP goes to you all. So, good job to you guys.
Just a quick, I was going to say it, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Talk about fake news, the Alejandro Villanueva picture on Facebook. Like, this is a true American. Like, the guy came out and said immediately, I'm super embarrassed by that. It was a misunderstanding. He didn't mean to be out there. He just happened to be in the scrum of how they were figuring out what they were going to do, happened to be out there. And he's like, that's completely taken out of context. Like, I don't – like, all these conservatives and right-wings people who are saying, like, oh, look at this guy. This is a true patriot. He didn't even mean to be out there. It was completely an accident.
He is a true patriot. But they were all supposed to be behind him. That's what he thought. That was his understanding of
it. There was a group of people behind him. Yeah,
all supposed to stay in the tunnel, and then he was going to be at the front, but not out for people to see. Yeah. So,
well, either or, he made a stand. He's taken whatever profit or recognition he got from that.
Good
and
dude.
Donated it to something else that matters more.
Between that and the Jerry Jones quote, that was so fake because Jones is out there taking a knee. Like, I'm like, fake news. Like, that's talk about Ray fake
Lewis?
News. Is like,
I was gonna say, have you seen Ray Lewis?
Lewis? I take two knees.
Ray Lewis wanted to get a sound.
Did you see that?
Oh my god!
I thought Ray Lewis said not to take a knee.
All right, so he did say not to take a knee.
He said I wouldn't protest. I wouldn't take a knee.
Yeah, he took. That's two knees, and this is his argument.
Both the knees he has, all the knees.
This is the argument that he had. He took two knees to pray with the people on the Ravens staff, with his players and his brothers, to pray for Jesus, for the people that are going through these injustices.
You got children.
I did not take a knee. I took two knees for God.
This is what it is. This is what it is. You got kids who are scared. They don't know what's going on.
And you know what?
I take two knees.
And you know what, Shannon Sharp? You're my friend. Okay? You could have called me.
Call him.
But to chastise me, you know me. You know me. I take two knees for God and not for injustice.
Not for injustice.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the Saborn brothers.
I want to thank Ray Lewis for stopping by.
Yeah, seriously. That was a great impersonation.
That was amazing. Yeah.
I thought SNL.
What's his name on SNL? I thought you were doing, what's his name doing?
Jay
Chris
Farrow?
That was very good.
That was really good.
Oh, that
seriously,
was
though, Ray Lewis. He shouldn't talk. Like, I love him as a player. He just shouldn't talk ever.
How does everyone feel
about
him?
That's what Joe Flacco said, too. They asked Joe Flacco. Man. He's like, what is he saying in those fiery pregame speeches? Joe Flacco's like, honestly, I don't even know what he's saying. It's a lot of gibberish usually. Like, we just all stand together and we get pumped up, but nobody really knows what he's saying. It's kind of silly. It's so funny. Ray Lewis.
All right.
Great. A murderer. Great murderer.
Jay, great idiot.
Jay, that was amazing. Thank you for that.
I'm working on my voices. That's good. You should bring that
to
this.
That was not Jay. That was your first guest spot.
That'll be a recurring segment. Jay's impersonation of the week.
All right, on to the first segment of the week. We're going to talk about the game of the week.
New segment.
And we all decided that the game of the week this week.
This is tough for Sam. I don't know. I don't prepare. What is it? Tell me.
It's between the Texans and the Almighty.
Oh, my God. That was such a good game. I'm so glad we're talking about it. This is a very good game.
As you know, Patriots went to win that game with 12 seconds left on the clock, 36-33. Tom Brady went off for 378 yards, 5 touchdowns. Deshaun Watson didn't do bad as well. He threw for 301 yards, 2 touchdowns. However, he got 2 interceptions. Gentlemen, my question for this game of the week is this. Is the Patriots that good, or is the Texans defense just as good as well? Because they even run for their money. Matt, would you like to take that one?
No, the Patriots are that good. Their offense is amazing. They have a really good offense. They're getting to the point where they're hitting on all cylinders. Usually Brady gets better as the season goes on. If anyone watches the Patriots, like the first game, I thought he looked like trash. The Chiefs, they got a good defense. Very good
completion percentage since like 2003 or something like that.
But they're like an amoeba offense and an amoeba defense. But their defense is trash right now, and they will get better. But it's still trash. I was so frustrated watching that game. It was a lot of expletives and all the things you can't
having
do
Dante Hightower out is a huge loss for them, because he's the captain over there, and he's calling the plays, getting everybody into the right spot.
He alone cannot do it. We're still getting pressure with Wise, and we're getting pressure with
Wise is playing great.
Flowers is playing great. They're both playing great, but Hightower alone cannot do it. You know, he's not going to help us.
I want to say hats off to the Texans, though. Deshaun Watson, that is the most passing yards by a rookie against a Patriot team.
In
New England, by the way.
That's the big one.
I'm waiting to give him credit. I don't think our defense is that good right now.
I will tell you, the funny thing is, we got watching the game, I was like, this is the interesting thing with the NFL. It's like, I was watching it. I was like, boy, how can I put this? I was like, the Texans defense looks so good. And then conversely, I was like, the Texans offense is not that good. So nope. I was like, because it's just funny. Like, what I'm trying to say is, like, when I was watching Brady get hit nonstop the whole game and then get all these, I don't want to call him lucky, but unbelievable plays off, like the one that he got to Gronk and the one that when he was going down, his knee was down.
That was that one to Gronk. He threw that off his also, back.
I mean, I have a lot. Like, I wish I took notes. Talent. I was watching it because I saw the Chris Hogan touchdown, and I was like, if that's a touchdown, Golden Tate's was a touchdown. But we can get to the Lions another
absolutely
later.
Absolutely not.
But
knee was down.
If Chris Hogan's was a touchdown, if that was a catch completion touchdown, then Golden Tate's was. But what I will say is that the Texans' defense looked really good. And the offensive line for the Patriots might be a problem.
The tackles are playing poorly.
Texans front seven is a problem.
I want to talk about that, actually. But go ahead.
The front seven is a problem. We have a decent offensive line. It's not bad at all.
Like, obviously
they're good.
When I watch it from I'm not a Patriots fan, so when I watch it from the Texans perspective. Like, Bill O'Brien, I don't understand what these coaches, like, they're afraid. Like,
Bill
O'Brien, they should have won that game.
Weak call.
There was 2.5, they did, the last drive they had it, they did 3 runs. You don't give the ball back to Tom Brady with 2 minutes or whatever there was doing 3 runs. Like, that's what, first of all, every third down was Deshaun Watson running. So I don't know what their offense is, because every third down was either a designed run or a broken play run. That was how they were moving the ball. Deshaun Watson was my guy coming in. He's still my guy. I like Deshaun Watson. I think that that was his first game where
that was working, though, in that game.
That was it.
Their offense was bad.
That worked against Cincinnati. He had that long touchdown run. That's why they're 2-1 or whatever their record is. Like, it's Deshaun Watson, or 1-2, right?
Even with the Texans defense playing really, really well, on that final play, you have to realize with 23 seconds. I think you said 12, right? Or was it 23?
It was somewhere within 23 when they got to Edelman.
Okay.
Edelman made that catch. And then after that was 12 seconds.
And that's 2 plays, actually, I would like to talk about. Because with those two plays, you have to realize you have to keep everything inside and worry about covering the sidelines. Make sure that they don't get out of bounds. Edelman got out of bounds, and then the final play.
Edelman has a torn ACL. He has not played.
They're pretty much the same.
Sam's best friend / the guy who's not playing.
Right. Yeah, but even on that final play with Brandon Cooks, that touchdown grab, which is a great grab, by the way.
It was a great throw, great everything.
It was a great throw, great But the thing is, the defense was weak getting there. They were slow getting there because if that guy gets there on time, that's a pick.
43, I believe it was. Yeah,
right. He came over. He swatted. He swatted. So he was there, and it was a great catch by Brandon Cooks. Great job keeping the feet down. But you have to realize, you are playing the sidelines. That means if you're supposed to be on the hash, maybe you step in a few steps out towards the sidelines so that you can cover that.
I'm sorry, you're talking about the Cooks catch? Or
yeah, the Cooks catch. Touchdown.
That was in the touchdown. You don't cover sidelines in the end zone, you don't.
You do. You have to cover sidelines on that. You have to.
I just think it's great. That's what the difference, because I love how you're looking at it defensively. I'm just like, they had the ball with 2.5 minutes left, 3 runs. Are you kidding me? Just drive, like, just get a first down, and it's a different game.
They gave a yard.
They gave them, yeah, it was exactly. 3rd and 1, right? And they did a run. Just do a bootleg. Just do a play action bootleg.
I think the offense was well, like, everything called offense. Was, yeah, Texans offense was well called. Everything was great until that last play.
Until that last drive. They had 3 straight runs.
People outthink themselves when they play the Patriots, exactly. And that's why I love being a Patriots fan.
Listen, let me, all right.
There's a coaching problem.
We're going to introduce you guys a new segment called Behind Enemy Lines.
I love it.
I love Owen Wilson.
Great movie.
Yeah.
So in this segment, we're going to get one person who is, you know, doesn't shy away from not being vocal about how they hate the opposing team. In this case, it's me.
Predominantly, it's going to be Sam talking about being living in Patriots country.
See, can I take my headphones off?
Now, watching that game, I didn't think the Texans was going to have a chance. But however, they kept up until, especially in the second quarter, when they scored 10 points on the New England, and New England couldn't do anything. Well, New England scored 14 points as well, but they were right on the hills. And fast forward to the fourth quarter, going back to what you're saying, running the ball. I think, you know, when I was watching that last 4 minutes of the game, I flashed back to the Super Bowl when the Falcons had the game right there. They could have came back, scored, if they just stuck to the fundamentals, which is running the ball. So I wasn't mad at the fact that they were running the ball. However, 3rd and 2, and you have a mobile quarterback, That's a perfect time where you do psych out Bill Belichick.
4th and a half inch.
Yes.
That's where you psych out. Fourth and a half a yard.
So instead of running the ball, they could do the play action.
They punted, like, right?
No, on fourth down they punted.
On fourth down they kicked the field goal. They made it, and they made it up 5 points, which was inconsequential. You go for that.
My thing is this.
Because it was 33-36.
Well, actually, it makes it so that we would have to.
No, because
we
had to get the 2-point conversion. You had to get the 2-point conversion to go up.
No, we didn't.
Well,
yeah, they got the 2-point conversion at the end.
We
did it to make it 3 for us. Their thought was, we're going to make them kick a field goal. I'm sorry to interrupt enemy lines.
That's okay.
No, it's 28-35.
Everyone interrupts,
right?
I'm sorry.
It was 28-35, right? All right, go ahead, Sam.
If this was a TV show, we'd interrupt you. You're so handsome.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Anyways, the thing is this. When you're playing the Patriots, and especially when you have a dominant defensive line, what they did wrong, because the entire game, they did, and I'm going to use a term that Jay, you use on What Would Jay Do, bracket. They bracketed Amendola the entire game. And he couldn't get any open looks until that last drive where number 29 on the safety, I don't know his name, I forgot his name. Instead of playing Amendola and bracketing him, he was focused on Tom Brady. Tom Brady recognized the play, and that's when he had the major play.
You can't get caught looking.
You can't. You really can't. And then they just stuck to the game plan, kept on applying pressure to Tom Brady, which they did perfectly.
Perfectly.
Stuck to man coverage. That would have been a game for
that. Talk about that throw, dude.
No, talk the whole game. It's crazy.
But Brandon Cooks.
The guy's 40 years old. The arm.
The whole game was crazy because, like, the whole. I watched it last night on the condensed.
We should have
lost. The whole game, Brady is getting hit, just standing there, taking it and throwing it and getting the ball. Like, most quarterbacks, like, look at. I've seen Eli Manning this year. I've seen Carson Palmer. If you get anywhere near them, if you hit them a couple times, they're done for the day. Eli's going to start Jay Cutler with the Jets. If you can get these guys, these older quarterbacks, if you can get to them early, which is what the Lions did against the Cardinals and the Giants, they start seeing things that aren't there. Brady is getting destroyed every play. And he's getting the ball where it needs to go. He's like, whatever. If I'm going to get hit, I'm going to get hit. I'm going to complete the throw. Like, at 40, it's crazy what he's doing.
You chalked that up to the TB12 method, number one bestseller for, how-to books?
How-to, yeah. Fitness books.
Yeah. Also, drink a lot of water and you don't get sunburned.
You will not get sunburned. That is a fact.
That's Tom Brady said that. He's like, I used to get sunburned all the time. Then I started drinking a lot of water. Never sunburned.
And guess what? the sun's afraid of me.
It could have something to do with selling his soul to the devil for immortality, but...
In the desert, we just drink canteens and we're fine.
All right, moving on to our next segment. We have the two-minute drill. Now, if you guys are unfamiliar with the two-minute drill, it's because we used to call it Inside the Huddle. We changed the name.
Branding.
So, two-minute drill. I'm sorry, Matt. You're going to be out of this one.
I'm out.
All right, see you later. Thanks for coming.
I got a piss break.
I'm going to ask you, Jay, and you, Dale, a series of questions. And
where are your questions?
No, I got it right here. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Rapid fire. You have 30 seconds to respond to them. And we will go from there. Hold on. Where are my questions? I got them.
You found them.
All right. So.
Are you playing this? Do I need my phone for it?
I need your answers.
No, I know, but I don't know if I need my phone because if you ask who's going to win first. No, you put the matchups. We're good. No, we're good. Play. Good. You got it.
All right. Ready? We're going to go in 3, 2. Just
flying by the seat of our pants.
Dale, this first question is to you.
You got it.
Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, the most underappreciated receiver duo in the league. Go.
I'm a Lions fan, so I don't want to give the Vikings any credit, but yes, I would say that they are 100% the most underrated receiver duo in the NFL. I mean, between Thielen, who catches everything, and Diggs, who can take the top off at any moment. I mean, it's crazy because they have Case Keenum, who's and a pop gun, can't throw more than 10 yards throwing bombs to Stephon Diggs.
All right, Jay, my question to you is this. Who should worry more, the Chargers, the Colts, or the Raiders?
The Raiders, they shouldn't be worried. I mean, it's hard to win this league. It's fine. And the Colts, I said that their season is done anyways, even if Andrew Luck comes back. So don't worry about anything. You're going to get a high pick. And then the Chargers, I would say that that's got to be them. And, I mean, Philip Rivers looked awful, and he looks really old now. So,
all right,
Dale. I told you the Raiders wouldn't go to Washington and win. You said it doesn't matter.
Dale.
I
was right. who will get the first win? 49ers over the Cardinals or the Giants over Tampa Bay? Be nice. Go.
Oh, my goodness. That's the matchups? Neither.
That's it.
The Giants. Giants. Whatever. Giants.
Don't say it to appease me.
Okay. Then not neither.
Jay, which storyline is more shocking to you? Bills being first in the AFC East, Bengals being 0-3, or the Jaguars' stellar defense? Go.
The Jaguars' stellar defense is not very shocking. I peg them to be a top five defense. The Bengals being 0-3, I guess I would go that route. The Bills being first in the AFC, that's for 1 week. You're done.
So your answer is what?
The Bengals.
The Bengals. Okay, cool. It is rival week in the NFL. Dale, the NFL North. They're all playing each other. Who do you have coming up top? Give me two winners. Go.
Okay, so Packers are going to win tonight. Lions are going to win on Sunday.
Sure.
Listen, real quick. What's his name? Case Keenum?
Case Keenum. I was going to get into
it. Killed it. Yeah. Killed it for them. Historically, great against the Buccaneers. No one knows why. In like 6 games against the Bucs, the best numbers he's ever had. All right, yeah.
Rival week in AFC North, Jay. Who are you picking? Give me your top two picks. Go.
The only interesting game out of that one is the Steelers versus the Ravens. But I don't like the Ravens' offense right now, so I'm going to go with the Steelers on that one. And then the Bengals versus the Browns. I guess the Bengals get their first one.
There you go. And
2-0-3 teams.
Tuck, NFC Player of the Week. Who do you have?
NFC, but I should have thought about this. NFC Player of the Week. Matt Stafford.
I can't stand you. I knew you were going to say that.
Hey, that should have been a touchdown. And if I was doing Jay AFC Player of the Week, go ahead.
No. Are you really going to say Matt Stafford?
Zeke Elliott?
Galladay.
No. Who do you want me to say?
If you looked at the numbers.
No, see, I'm just going by what I saw, and Stafford brought them back.
Are we talking about next week or this year?
No, this week, right now.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about
it. No. I want to hear what you think it is, though. Please. And I don't mean that condescendingly. I mean, I want
to. I hate to say this man's name, Kirk Cousins, and we're getting into that later on in the second
half.
AFC Player of the Week, Jay, who do you got?
Tom Brady, he was the AFC player of the week.
That's what I would have said. For AFC, that's what I would have said.
They already did my job for me.
All right, and this question, final question is for you both, gentlemen.
And Matt.
And Matt, why not? We're throwing
throw
it in.
Throw him in.
I'm not prepared. Pee break? I can't
I'm not prepared either.
Who is the better 3-0 team? Is it ATL or Kansas City?
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
By the way, speaking of ATL, they play the entire AFC East in the next 4 weeks. So they have two byes, and they play the Patriots and the Bills and the Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah, so
a bunch of wins and one loss. That was a dig at the Jets.
All right, moving on to our next segment, which is the four-minute drill, which is not really anything special. We're just going to cover all the games that happened.
Pretty special to me.
Yeah, we're going to it's going to be like the fastest 2 minutes, but in 4 minutes.
All right, and we're going to start with...
So it's doubly as
Let's
good.
Let's start with that overseas
twice,
game.
Twice as good.
Between the Ravens and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles thrown for 244 yards, four touchdowns. Marquise Lee led the receiving corps with four receptions and 65 yards. On the opposite side, Ryan Mallett, 36 yards and threw one touchdown.
Ryan Mallett, not Joe Flacco. You didn't hear him wrong. Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett. And that's all the entertaining news that came out of that. Gentlemen, what's our take on that game? Again, we talked about Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Is it the real deal, McNeil, or is it just,
move to London, Jacksonville? Because obviously you like the home field advantage over
and
there.
And Allen Hurns has like three touchdowns in three games in London. Like Allen
Blake
Hurns
Bortles
has
plays well over there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they should move there because that would be a hell of a home field advantage.
Everyone in London must think Blake Bortles is the best quarterback.
Yeah, like they're
of all
like
time.
Tom Brady who? We have Blake Bortles.
Yeah, Blake Bortles is the greatest quarterback ever.
Ravens offense is inept, so the Jaguars defense was very good.
Though. I was still surprised.
No, they should not have lost that game.
Something it should have been 44-7.
Something weird happened.
Well, what happened is they didn't go over there till late.
Well,
they didn't go over
weird
till
happened.
Something weird must have happened.
Well, the NFL screwed John Harbaugh.
Oh, stop.
That's what happened.
Okay. Well, I understand that he gets
but
shafted.
But they didn't go over. I don't think they went there till I think they left
maybe
Friday.
Maybe it was Ray Lewis being on both knees.
Ray Lewis does his best work on his knees.
You guys didn't answer the question.
Oh, there was a question?
What was the question? I didn't hear a question.
You asked if the Ravens...
Jaguars
defense
is the real thing.
Yeah. It's a top five.
No, it is a real thing, but their offense is so putrid that they should not have won. They're just so bad. The Ravens defense is also the real thing, by the
this
way.
This is the 4 minute drill, though.
All right. Dolphins, Jets. The Jets finally get their first win.
Off
the 20-6. Jay Cutler had a
Jay Cutler game.
Yeah, 220 yards, one touchdown, one interception. McCown, however, had 249 yards and one touchdown. We mentioned before that Matt Forte got injured, as well as Jay Ajayi. Jay, since you are both of you guys actually AFC East guys, are you worried? Are you concerned? Does it matter to you guys at all about
nope.
this? No. Okay, moving on. Nope. Giants and Eagles. My Giants continue to struggle ever since I publicly
and you know what I was thinking.
Named
watch them not re-sign Odell. Like I was thinking that because of all this on the field stuff. Mean, like how funny would that be?
Speaking
though?
Of Odell,
that dude's talented.
300 receptions, quickest guy to do it.
Hey,
hats off. He's the best receiver in the NFL, if you ask me. So.
Well, I broke it down. That's 7 receptions a game. Since he started,
quality yeah. map.
He missed. I think he missed 3 games, 4 games. One due to suspension last year.
His rookie year too. He didn't start
two
right
games.
Away.
Yeah,
his rookie
teams,
year.
Yeah,
and
that's
one
right.
game this year.
Coughlin
so 4 games.
Sit him, right?
Yeah, four
no, he
games.
Didn't start the first 2 games of his rookie career.
I think Jarvis Landry is right behind him too. I think he was like 7th.
Yeah,
fastest.
But if he's right behind him, then his yards are way down because Jarvis Landry catches it and falls down.
Well, Eli Manning is
trash.
366 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 of them which went to OBJ, 2 interceptions. Sterling Shepard had a amazing effing game.
I think both of it, we have a group text. And Jay, what you said was spot on for this game. Odell kept him in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam, what you said, a rookie hit a 61-yard field goal. Yeah. When and
which,
how does that ever
which,
happen?
Which, by the way, he missed the field goal earlier in the
year.
Yeah,
so that's good for him, though. Clutch.
Sterling Shepard, 7 receptions for 133 yards plus a touchdown. Carson Wentz went 176 yards for 1 touchdown. As we mentioned before, Darren Sproles went out of the game. Thus coming in, Smallwood. What's his first name?
Wendell
Smallwood.
Mr. Wendell.
Who went for 12 attempts for 71 yards. Gentlemen, is this it for the Giants? Are we burying the hatchet?
I mean,
is this it for the season? Should
they're
they
not going to make
it?
The playoffs at 0-3. They could end up being 8-8, 9-7, but they're not a playoff team. Not with the Redskins playing better than the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Hope you get the guy out of USC. Eli's done.
How do we feel about
that?
That
would be great, though, if you got Sam Darnold. Like, if you somehow got
he's actually been throwing picks, too, so he'll fit in.
Nine touchdowns, 7 picks.
Do we agree or do we disagree with OBJ's TD celebration?
You know why he did? Well, it's funny because at first I heard he did it. I heard he did it because Trump said you're all SOBs. Yeah. Yeah. But the funny thing is, I also heard that was just someone asked him if that's why he did it. He's like, yeah, let's go with that. Because his first explanation was, I'm a dog.
Exactly, yeah. Like, that's not why he did it.
And then the funny thing is, so his first celebration was the peeing, and his second celebration was the fist in the air. So it's like, what were you going, like, he's like, if I get two touchdowns, then I'll make a, then I'll make a statement. If I get one touchdown, that's for Odell. The first touchdown's for Odell. The second touchdown's for the people.
Herein lies his problem, but he's talented.
Bucks versus Vikings.
Happened there?
Vikings won 34-17. Jay, I got two words for you. Case Keenum. Are you a believer?
He's completely serious.
Oh, you really asking me?
Yes, I'm asking.
Move on. Next question.
No, Stephon Diggs is, though.
Adam Thielen is.
Which, by the way, Stephon Diggs is a man amongst men. And
he's one of my favorite receivers.
Oh, my God. Like,
I would literally trade my entire team to JJ, and I've told him that I would. For Stephon Diggs.
You guys are making trades at this table. I can't even get a bite.
I forgot. It's not going to matter now because I forgot. But I was watching the highlights of Stephon Diggs in that game, and he reminded me of a receiver. I can't think of who. I want to say maybe Chad Ochocinco.
Bernard Berrian?
No.
I was just saying bad NFC North receivers.
No, he's an undersized guy, but when he jumps to go get it,
he looks taller than he is.
He's a little bit like
Steve Smith.
No, because he's long.
No. A little bit like DeAndre Hopkins, a little bit.
He's smaller, more athletic, right?
But he's got strong hands like DeAndre. Oh. So he's poetry in motion when he jumps up to get that ball.
Well, he went for 8 receptions for 173 yards and 2 touchdowns. You fantasy football owners. Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, honestly.
JJ.
James Winston, forgot his name, 328 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Bad game from him.
I think that this is going to be his problem for a long time, though. Mm-hmm. I think he's a gunslinger, and if they're not going to have a ground game and the defense, if you give him an opportunity to throw it to the other team, he's going to throw it to the other team. He's mega talented. He's got one of the best arms. He's a super athlete. But
Doug Martin's coming back.
He's going to be a gunslinger forever. Poor John. That's all I was thinking. We got John Rock. Poor guy.
If you're listening, John,
our condolences.
And Xavier Rhodes, he earns his money from that extension, shutting down Mike Evans completely. Who else did he shut down?
Antonio Brown and Odell.
He's been shut down. No, he shut down everybody.
Last year.
No, he shut down
everybody. Yeah. Last week. But in his last three games, they put up his stat on Facebook.
He's earning that.
Rhodes closed.
Yeah. Moving on, we're gonna stay in the NFC North. We're gonna talk about the Falcons and the Lions. Lions just lose it. I didn't see the game at all, and I kept on hearing it. I was hearing like the rumor, whatever the case may be. I didn't know what the hell was going on. Then I watched the game today. Dale.
No,
that's a touchdown.
No, it's not. If it isn't a touchdown,
it's not a touchdown.
To me, it's
a dumb rule.
It's iffy. Maybe it's not a touchdown. Maybe it is. We had with 8 seconds left. We could have got up and run another play.
Yes.
At the most, it should be a 5-second runoff. And it's so funny too. No, there shouldn't be a runoff. But the NFL was like,
Dean Blandino was like,
"Oh, you couldn't get another play off in that time." And then the Detroit Lions Twitter tweeted Dean Blandino back, former VP of officiating, and said, with the video, was like, last year in Minnesota, we went 26 yards in 7 seconds.
It was a good
at
troll.
The end of the game. Yeah, we're on the 1 yard line. Matt Stafford would have pretended to spike it and did what he did against the Cowboys and just went over it. We should have won that game. And if it's, I felt like you with the Chiefs, and it was not the same type of game, but if it comes back to a tiebreaker, I'm going to be real upset if the Falcons are the 1 seed and we're the 2 seed, because the NFL took that game from us.
Not only that, if the officials say that is not a touchdown, then they have the chance to go up and get that playoff. I thought it was a touchdown. I think it's a stupid rule at the end of the game.
Isn't it an automatic timeout, ref's timeout?
See, that's the thing that kills me. The rule was called the right way. Everything was appropriate. They appropriately called it, and I tend to agree with Matt. It might not have been a touchdown. The thing is, if they didn't call the touchdown, like you said, and they went back and reviewed it, I don't even think there would have been a runoff.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been a runoff.
It doesn't matter. Even if they call it not a touchdown, that he's down at the one.
Yeah, they Matt could Stafford run it on play. Yeah, exactly. So
you're saying if there was a touchdown?
I'm saying if it wasn't a touchdown, if they called him down.
If they didn't call it a touchdown in
the beginning.
They
probably still would have reviewed it, though, because it was so close, because they review it automatically.
No, they can only review it if it's a touchdown initially.
If it's a scoring play or if it comes from up top.
Okay. So they wouldn't have reviewed it, and like you said,
we
would have
had a chance.
It was
the on-field officials calling it a touchdown.
That's the NFL taking a game from you.
Exactly.
Yes. That's the NFL taking it. Like, that's their 10-second runoff, and which happens all the time with Detroit fans. So.
And honestly, I do believe it. I really do. You guys get robbed a lot.
Yeah. Like, there's something about Detroit that the NFL is not not a fan of.
Moving on from there, the NFC South rival, Saints, Panthers. Saints get the first win. Cam Newton continues to play like butt, and the world keeps turning. Broncos, Bills. Broncos lose to the Bills.
nothing else to see here, nothing. Folks.
Plays like butt. He'll play good against us.
Broncos, Bills. Bills come away with a win. Tyrod Taylor going 213 yards for 2 touchdowns. Trevion Siemian. It's still putting up numbers.
Comes back to earth. Two picks.
You know what's crazy about that was Vegas had it. Vegas had Buffalo at 4-point favorites. And I was like, this is crazy. I put a lot of money on the Broncos, and I lost my rent. Like, we're not going to be able to record here anymore. I guess Buffalo's a hard place to play. That's what people sleep on Buffalo.
Trevor Siemian, 2 picks in the last 19 minutes. He came back to earth.
He's streaky.
He's a good quarterback, but he's not going to carry that team. If CJ Anderson's not running he's a starting quarterback, but he's a trailer. He's not a truck. He's a trailer.
Somebody to get to somebody else.
I think he's better than that. No. I think he's just not. He's like an Alex Smith, where everything has to be perfect around him.
Stop saying Alex.
No,
Smith.
No, Trevor Siemian.
You need
like
to come up
Alex
somebody
Smith.
Else with
because
Alex
Smith.
Smith
is the perfect median quarterback. He's not bad. He's not great. If you have a good defense and a running
Siemian
game,
is not Alex Smith.
He will be.
Moving on, I think this game should have been the game of the week, and that's the game between the Seahawks and the Titans. Very high scoring game, very hard.
That wasn't a
game
until the end, though. That's why we didn't pick it, because it wasn't close until the end.
33-27. Titans get the better of the Seahawks. Russell Wilson came back to earth, or he came back to becoming who he was. Passing 373 yards, 4 touchdowns in the game. Marcus Mariota. Thrown for 225 yards, 2 touchdowns. DeMarco Murray, my man, DeMarco Murray. No, actually, I should go back to that Lions game because Devontae Freeman.
Too late to pass. It's over.
I digress. DeMarco Murray, 14 attempts.
Our linebacker was out.
115 yards, 1 touchdown. What's his name? Richard Sherman. What was that about?
Oh, 3 penalties on 1 play, right? That's you're unlucky. 3 penalties. He got a pass interference. And then it was a pick. So then he got an illegal block. And then he took his helmet off and yelled at the ref or something. So he got unnecessary roughness too.
He had an
3-for-1
roughness after that too, where he knocked somebody when he was already on the white.
No, what I like about that game was he hit Mariota when Mariota was running.
That's what I'm saying.
And Taylor Lewan came up and was going to fight that dude. Like, I like that. The whole Quentin Spann, the guard, came up. Like I love when you hit my quarterback. What?
Nothing. Continue.
What?
Nothing. But you're right. Weird. When your offensive line is there, they're selfless people. When they're there to just back up your quarterback, it's awesome.
Moving on. The
you have a great beard, by the way.
Thank you. The Packers beat the Bengals. Apparently, this is the first time that Aaron Rodgers has A, beaten the Bengals, and B, won an overtime game, which is crazy to me.
That's weird. Crazy. That's weird. He was 0-7 in overtime games.
The Raiders lose to the Redskins in a dominant defensive game by the Redskins. Kirk Cousins thrown 365 yards for 3 touchdowns. Derek Carr couldn't do anything at all. Only thrown 118 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. And finally, Thursday next game, which we kind of glossed over, that probably would
have. That was my original game of the week. That game was crazy.
The Rams and the 49ers. Rams win.
That was a good game.
The 49ers, though, they made it a game in the fourth quarter. Like, it seemed like when I was watching it, the Rams were just going to run away with it. The 49ers really, really fought back. And Brian Hoyer, man, I love that dude. I really do.
Brian Hoyer is the worst Alex Smith in the NFL.
Brian Hoyer is what Trevor Siemian is.
Oh, stop. Brian Hoyer
there you
is.
Go. There's your comparison.
No, Brian Hoyer is a backup quarterback. Trevor Siemian is a starting
Trevor
quarterback.
Trevor Siemian
is
about to be
too. No, Trevor Siemian is a starting
Don't
quarterback.
Don't worry. Sam Donald's coming your way.
No, not my way. I have Matthew Stafford. But
no, the Broncos fan.
Oh, really? Because they just took Paxton Lynch in the first round last year. You think they're going to. How many first round picks do you think John Lynch is going to.
Paxton Lynch, he's awful.
He is awful.
They're moving on.
Because John Elway cannot evaluate quarterbacks, which nobody wants to talk about. Like, that could be a
we got Paxton Lynch. Oh, let's sign Brock Osweiler back. Let's get more 6-7 guys.
He was successful in that offense. I don't think it's a bad signing. I would have signed him.
You would have signed him.
I would have signed him.
I don't like Brock Osweiler. Tall white quarterbacks suck.
In that offense, he had success, so I don't think it's that bad.
Peyton Manning, that's the skeleton of Peyton Manning, had success in that offense. So.
Well, he didn't. No, he didn't. He managed.
Yeah.
But yes, Todd Gurley was a man possessed in that game. By the way, like I said, when we were talking about predictions, his rushing, and he had 28 carries for 113 yards, not a great average.
No, but that's
he's good. Got which talent. Is fine, which gotta, is fine. But his receiving, he's really stepped on the receiving game.
When I was watching that game, I was like, Sean McVay is our age, 31, and he's like, that would be how I would coach. He brought in Wade Phillips. He's like, I'm not even going to worry about the defense. What did you see him when the defense was out there? He was sitting on the bench, yeah, going sitting, over plays. That's what I would be doing. I don't care about defense.
Yeah, he's on the cooler. Yeah,
like, this is the coolest dude in the NFL. He's like, I'm an NFL head coach. Whatever, you know. Like, I'm just drawing up plays in my backyard.
Improves, just fine. Know? He's got to delegate it to other people. That's fine.
Yeah, no, he's the offensive coordinator, yeah. And he has Wade Phillips. That's if I was an NFL coach, I would get the best defensive coordinator I could, and I'd be like, whatever you're good at, focus on that. Let someone else worry about the other side. So I thought that's a wonderful song. All right. Anyways, moving on. We didn't do Cowboys Cardinals, right?
That's not an important game.
Oh, I would say the Monday Night Football game is, first of all, they're all important, depending on who's listening. And
I love Jerry Jones pulling the wool over everyone's eyes, you know, doing the kneeling before the flag comes out, you know?
He's
playing both sides.
How did Larry Fitzgerald do?
Great.
He's genius.
He did great.
I thought you said he was done.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, so is Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, that's a gradual decline. Was done too. That's a gradual decline.
Yeah, off
and
the
that's,
cliff.
That's happening.
Okay.
No, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, eventually.
No, Larry Fitzgerald is a tight end playing receiver. He can make those crazy, spectacular contested catches. 13
receptions for 149 yards plus a touchdown.
Yeah. Also, what did we say last week? How many corners did Dallas have? Two? So, I'm not surprised that Larry Fitzgerald.
Carson Palmer.
Yeah, and Carson Palmer looked good for the first three quarters. He looked good. No, he looked good, and then he fell off a cliff. He should have won that game.
325 yards with two touchdowns.
He was getting destroyed by DeMarcus Lawrence the entire game.
Yeah, he was, because he's old and slow.
Palmer's is. Yeah, he's getting old.
He's him, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, Jay Cutler, somebody else I can't think of right now. All these guys. Besides, everyone's aging except Benjamin Tom Brady Button.
All right, moving on to the final segment of today's show. It is the elephant in the room. It is the thing that everyone's been talking about. It is causing major arguments, creating new friends.
No arguments here.
And it's something that needs to be addressed. A very serious issue of, you know, the whole taking the knee act that across the board every NFL player did. Just about, unless Alejandro Villanueva, everyone took a knee in response to Donald Trump's message that we touched on earlier in the game. Now, the reason why we have Matt here, aside from, you know, just...
The only reason.
That's pretty much it.
Hearing his seductive voice is to get his insight as to this whole protest. Matt, you tell the people about your background. So what? Just tell people
specifically
about
your height, your weight.
I'm 5'4". I'm 130 pounds. I wish I was taller.
Astrological sign.
What's that?
Your astrological sign.
Sagittarius. Well, yeah, I'm a veteran. Yeah, so I'm a hero. I deployed once.
He gets discounts on Veterans Day.
Oh, dude, I go ham. Chili's and Applebee's. Yeah. I've been to the desert to an undisclosed location.
Wait, you really can't tell us?
I don't know what I can tell. Honestly.
All right, then don't tell us. He's been overseas.
I've been overseas. I'm going again. So I'm here to give you the veteran perspective, and I don't speak for all veterans.
No,
I don't speak for all veterans.
He speaks for all of them.
I do not. I'm a young man. The older veterans hate this.
Let me ask you a question. How did you feel about it personally?
I understand why there needed to be a demonstration. Mm. I personally would not have done it during the national anthem. Being in the military and knowing people who've been through hardships in the military and knowing all that the flag means to those people, I don't think it was the best way to do it, but it does bring the conversation to the forefront as it has. So I think it was beneficial that Kaepernick did what he did. But I would never do it.
But all right, here's the thing. Before I lose my thought about what you just said. Now, let me first and foremost commend you, applaud you for your bravery and all that. You know, like I would never in my life.
We're a bunch of pussies. Like I'm not dying for anybody but my daughter.
See, that's the other thing. I think that this has become a military, normal people thing where we're all Americans. In my opinion, is not more. All right, go ahead.
Let me get to that. Yeah. So whenever the conversation comes to the, you know, when people are saying you're disrespecting the flag, you're disrespecting the national anthem, you're disrespecting the people who fought for this flag and national anthem, why is it that when we associate the flag, we associate the military. That we associate the police officers. Well, it's because, when there are doctors who built this country, there are scientists who built this country, there are teachers who built this country who don't feel like they're being disrespected, who understand the argument, and they want to. They are just as Americans as the people who went out overseas.
We're all patriots, but the thing is, the NFL made it a military thing. They bring the military out to hold the flag, right, and they do all these things. And no one was.
And the flag was created actually during military wartime. So,
but
that's not the thing. I mean, no military. My question is why weren't military members causing an uproar when we had to pay to get on the field to be there for these demonstrations? And it still might be going on. I think because people know about it now, it might not. But we had to pay to be on the field.
Yeah, starting in 2009.
Yeah, to be out there.
The DOD paid them gave the NFL a significant amount of money. So that as a recruitment tool, make people, fans, interested in joining the armed services is what he's referencing. But what I would say to that, though, is in regards to what both of you said, my thing is when I go on Facebook, it's like unbearable. And I just wish that everyone, this is very political as part of the conversation, I just wish people would get as mad about people taking a knee for the national anthem as they would about kids getting killed by cops, as they would about Trump trying to take health care from everybody, as they would about Puerto Rico people ignoring what happened to Puerto Rico. Like, nobody cares about that, but we care about a stupid, no offense, Matt, like, we care about the national anthem. It's not stupid, but we care about a song and a piece of fabric that is signifies.
It's because to some people it means a lot. And I know,
and I think that when the flag is more important than the people, that's nationalism.
It's forced nationalism.
That's nationalism,
which is,
and that's yeah, yeah. It's Germany forced, dealt with this exactly, back in the 30s. Like, when the flag is more important than the people, when the flag is more important than the ideas of the country, that's a problem.
Just because I stand for the flag and I always will doesn't mean that I'm forcing everyone to do it. Like, that's not how it should be. That is not. The most American thing is protest, you know?
Oh, 100%. Like, that's why America was founded, on us protesting.
Yes, on protesting, throwing power. Tea into the harbor, and all the things that we did, you know? That's, and I don't speak for all military members. I think if you took a poll, they would all disagree with me, honestly.
You think so? Because veterans who are like, I fight for people to have the right to protest.
Yeah, I've heard that on the radio, too. And we are in the blue state, but when I go to drill, everyone disagrees. Everyone's like, oh, take a stand, you know? Like, all that, you know, garbage. And I'm hearing it from everybody. This is a blue state.
Yeah, we are. We are.
So I think when you go to the South, you know, the majority of military members disagree with this protest. I am of the standing. This is the most American protest I can think of. You know what I mean? This is why we do what we do. And you know, like, they're braver men than me, but I think you would find people who would agree with me on this. You know.
And most importantly, I would say, my only problem with all this actually is that what Colin Kaepernick took a knee for is not what we're talking about right now.
That's what I was going
to
say.
People think it's a protest against Trump.
That's what kills me. It is a protest to Trump. What all the NFL players did is against Trump.
For this particular weekend, yes. Here's the issue that I'm having with this protest, and I said it at first with Colin Kaepernick, is that I agree with what he's protesting for.
Yes.
But I feel like the stage to do this, because it's made it about the military against these people, make it these people against America itself. So instead of protesting in that particular way, and again, we've all seen the images of, we weren't around at this time, of the Olympics where black athletes were able to put their fist up in the air while they were playing the national anthem. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've understand that, and we've also heard the stories of Muhammad Ali,
the athletic summit,
not going to war and being stripped of his title because he felt that it was an unjust war. No Viet Cong has ever done anything wrong to me.
Which is accurate.
So this is happening, and this has been happening for a very long time. But the thing is that right now the narrative is different, and we're not talking about what the issues are. We're talking about people that are kneeling. And we're counting people that are kneeling.
And
that's the problem.
I think the problem there is because the messenger has not been very clear. If you're making Kaepernick your messenger, maybe don't retweet everything you have to say and maybe say something to people. Enlighten them, you know?
I was listening to a podcast today and they were saying that the thing with Colin Kaepernick, and I read an article about him too, he's not a super vocal guy. He's not a super outgoing guy. So
I commend everything that he's done. I think he's not, donated money. He's not, and he's donated time. He's
probably not the best face.
Well, then maybe get a publicist. Get someone to talk for your cause. You know, want that,
I guess.
People don't understand what he's doing. He's wearing Castro socks, which is
And cops with pigs. And that's not the way to go about it.
It's a dumb idea.
There are bad cops out there, and everyone
there's bad people in every employee.
We all agree that it was the right thing, the right idea. I think that they shouldn't. The whole NFL shouldn't be taking a knee every week, though, because that's you're protesting the president.
You're going to forget what the cause is.
Yeah.
And here's another thing, too. I'm a basketball guy, all right? I was formerly on the Flagrant Fans until we start recording again. I'm a basketball guy. But if you look at how the basketball player's stance on this is that they've actually had a great job of doing community meetings with police members and members of the community and bringing them together and trying to start a dialogue on how this can be changed. They're not kneeling during the flag or anything like that. They're trying to make changes. So if you want to kneel, that's perfectly fine in doing so. That is your right as an American to do so. However, don't just kneel during a national anthem. Start doing something.
There could be a reason to that because NBA bylaws suggest, they say you cannot kneel. Like you have to stand.
Right.
You have to stand for the national anthem.
Sharif Abdul Mahood or something like that.
Yeah. He formerly did
Chris
time
Jackson.
Ago. Yeah, yeah.
He got suspended for doing so. And the NBAPA, I've actually listened to her interview, and she did not come up with an official statement.
Oh, WNBA?
No, NBA.
Oh,
it's Michelle something. I forget her last name. Okay. But she has come out and said that I commend my players for what they have done. I don't think they have done anything wrong in what they have said. However, I feel like with the basketball as a whole group, how they've been able to not make it about them versus us, they've made it about the issues itself, and I commend them on doing so. And LeBron James, even though as much as I hate this guy, and Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony, great job of actually making it about the issues.
Yeah, but
I also appreciate LeBron calling out the president.
It's not the NFL players didn't say this is us versus you. This is Donald Trump's comments that they're reflecting on.
I
mean? It's not
right.
NFL,
well, this particular
that's last week.
Week, though. Correct.
That's last week. You know, okay. I commend them all for doing what they did. When the commander-in-chief said what he said, you know.
One of many things that he said.
Yeah. Now, do you think going forward, players should still continue to take the knee?
No. And you're going to forget what the cause is.
Right.
Pouncey said it on the Steelers. If you want to do anything from Monday to Saturday, I'm going to be out there with you, you know, when I'm not doing my job. But Sunday's for football. We're football players. Let's play football.
I
commend what it's done, though. You know, it put it to the forefront. Nothing's wrong with what got us to this point. You know what I mean?
I think, too, though, in regards to what you just said, I think that if Kaepernick was still in the NFL, he should still be taking a knee. If the guys who have been doing it from the beginning, I don't think the whole team should be doing it. I don't think that the whole league should be doing it. I think if somebody has something, there's other ways they can do it. But if they want to take a knee, that's their right, and they can do it. I don't want the whole team to do it. I want the guys who are out there fighting the fight. Like I said, if Kaepernick was in the NFL, I would appreciate him still doing it.
I think a more powerful message, though, is when you're locking arms together as opposed to taking a knee.
Yeah, I agree. Separately. But the problem with that is that was against the president. That wasn't...
No, I understand
that's
that.
That's not them saying Black Lives Matter or anything like that. I'm saying that I would love somebody to come out and be like, Black Lives Matter, like Cam Newton. I would love Cam Newton to be like, I love this country. Like, the last thing I want to say is, you can love the country and not stand for the national anthem. Like, it's not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean you hate the country when you take a knee. It doesn't mean you hate the country if you don't take your hat off.
Perception is a reality for some of these people. So that's the thing. So if you're standing in, we want to make sure that we're a united front. So if some of the people are standing and some of the people are kneeling, that's not united. That's us against them. No, that's the way it's perceived.
But okay? I understand why young black men would not feel like, this is our country, you know, with all the history and all that's going on now.
Sport is a great equalizer. It's always has been.
No,
when
I know.
When you get on a field, it's we're brothers. The only color that matters is the jersey that you're wearing.
Well, that was epitomized by Alejandro Villanueva, where he put his patriotism to the side, where he's like, you know, I let down the team. That's why he apologized, because he's in a team.
Right.
You know. Mm. But I understand why young black men would want to make it like, what better audience than an NFL game? Everyone's watching, you know? Why would they exactly. would feel like this is not their country?
Exactly.
And why they would want to make a statement. But my thing is, we need to move on with solutions. You got your statement out there. The statement's out there. We're all talking about it. The president, he'll talk about anything. But
now, how do we make a change?
How do we make a change?
By continuing to do what we're doing. There's
continue
nothing.
Continue to take a knee?
There's nothing,
for years?
There's nothing in this world right now, and I'll wait for you guys to oppose me or to prove me wrong, that collectively brings people together than sports. Everyone will shut up and stay silent and watch sports together. So use that opportunity, use that platform to talk about a very serious issue in this world right
now. Do you think the protests still need to be going on?
Mike's shoved in these people's faces all the time. They're being interviewed all the time. Why not use that as a platform? Why not show up to a voluntary event or a community service outreach program to show that, and, you know, you have that power, you have that mic.
And hold on, people are doing that.
But
all I'm
Some
saying
people
is
are.
We need to move on with this whole spectacle of the kneeling thing, and change needs to happen. And Kaepernick is doing it. I do give him credit. He's not really being a great vocal leader for the cause. And I think other people are. Who is it? It's Bolden and Malcolm Jenkins, I think.
Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins.
They're doing really great work, and, you know, they need credit for that. You know?
Absolutely.
I think it's very important, like you just said, it's to stay to the narrative, the original narrative.
Yes, the original narrative. Now it's...
And I think if you're NFL players out there, owners, coaches, whatever the case may be, if you're a firm believer that there is some form of injustice that's going on in the world right now that needs to be addressed, please continue to take that knee. I think you should. I think if you're going to stick to the additional narrative and not worry about what President Trump is saying, and you want to bring light to this, you want to bring focus to this, and if you want to protest in a very passive way, then take the knee. Continue to take the knee.
The knee's not going to change anything, though. It's just going to keep that message out there. It's not going to make a solution.
My thing with that is, if you're taking a knee, you better be doing a lot else.
Yes.
You know, if you're just taking a knee and you think that's it, you think that's it, if you want to make a statement, do stuff.
Right.
All
right? Don't wear a shirt that says Black Lives Matters, but not be there for a family who just lost their teenage boy through police brutality.
Do you know?
And everything's communal. Like, I mean, what are you gonna go there for, a guy in California when you live in New Jersey? Right. But I mean,
no. Do you know what? I was talking to a friend of mine about this issue, and he brought up a very interesting idea. Really, it may be a little insensitive to some, but it would definitely get the point across. Now, the NFL this year has said it's okay to celebrate, do whatever celebration, as long as within the rules.
Not lewd or sexual.
He suggested that to get the point across, NFL players should reenact the things that have happened as a TD celebrations and, you know, bring it back to life.
That would be tough if it was. It would be tough.
It would be tough. But
that would be interesting, because I would love to see
players acting.
No, the commissioner's office have that fine on their desk and try to make you're gonna find that.
Wait,
you know?
They used to find people that wore 9/11 cleats. They used to find people. They tried to find.
But how
Angela
loose
Williams,
they,
who lost his mother
how loose
to
they made the celebration laws. I want to see how they're gonna work this out. There would be a huge backlash.
To me, it's. Because you have that mouthpiece, because you have a God-given gift to play the NFL, to play NFL football, use your mouthpiece, get yourself out there, get the message out there. And I love this song.
No, but you're right. You're absolutely right. And gentlemen, I thank you so much for being part of this conversation. I was going to use this as a rant and run, but I figured let's all talk about it. You know what I mean? It's an issue that's not going to go away for at least another week. And it's a very serious issue that needs all the attention that it can get until something is rectified and justified, and that is right for everyone across America. You know, President Obama said it best. This is not a white America, it's not a black America, it's not a blue America, it's not a red America, it's the United States of America. And if there's one thing that the United States of America, you know, likes to proclaim or declare, it is justice and freedom for all. And we need that. We absolutely need that. As men, as human beings, as brothers, we need that in this country right now. But Matt, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your thoughts.
Thanks for having me.
Dropping your knowledge. Anytime, please come by. And gentlemen, we'll be here next week. Yes, sir? No?
Next week I'll be here.
Unless you want to take a knee and not come.
I might do that in protest of flagrant fans right now. Like, what's going on?
Thank you so much,
folks. I want to be employed.
Thank you so much, folks, for listening, and we'll see you next week.